How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Friday morning. Final weekend of spring, believe it or not. Summer arrives on Monday. But you made it. Father's Day weekend straight ahead. We're glad you're with us for this 18th day of June, 2021. Gang's all here, JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to at least the start of a nice day. Unfortunately, by this afternoon, looks like could be a little bit wet. So we've got a sunny start today, clouding over as the morning goes on. And by this afternoon, some showers developing, potentially. Today's high, 24. More the same tomorrow. So sunny in the morning. Chance of showers in the afternoon tomorrow. A little bit warmer, up to 28. And then Sunday, Father's Day. Looks very nice. Mostly sunny skies on Father's Day and a high of 29. As we sit right now, it is 15 degrees as we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Excellent, Jared. Just laying out my schedule for this beautiful, gorgeous Friday and thinking a little work, a little golf, a little soccer action, maybe a little dinner and a nap and watch good old Montreal, Vegas. So that's my Friday. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much. Really.
How's your Friday
that.
Looking?
My Friday is looking like a little bit of work.
Okay.
A little bit of golf this afternoon. And that'd be about
nice,
it.
Nice,
yeah,
nice. Yeah, are you interested in the Old English soccer match? Or?
I'm interested in all the soccer matches.
Okay,
but I will not be home to be able to watch it because I'll be on the golf course unless we get rained out, which unfortunately for those who have golf plans or something outdoors this afternoon, looking at the right now, my weather app says 70% chance of rain starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon, 80%, 90% at 9.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that.
Do you go right in the Kanata area? You're not doing the Ottawa, are you? Are you doing Kanata?
The Ottawa what?
When it comes to location.
Well, the
on
location, because that's really a big deal when it comes to the rain, right?
Because you know with Ottawa, it can be doing something in Barrhaven and not be doing anything in Nepean on the other side of Hunt Club.
I'm convinced that there's a dome over Kanata. So I'm on the, I'm on the Ottawa app right now. So I'm at the downtown app.
Okay, yeah.
I could squeeze over to, I can't get the Kanata. There's the one that just drifts with me, so I do have a Kanata weather. But I don't think it breaks it down that specifically.
No. I've been checking the old Greeley weather. Looks like tee off at 11 night. Nice. Around 1, maybe a little something. 2 could be some rain, but I don't really say. I think it says 40% air, and then it says 0.6 of a millimeter. Mm. So is that a little bit? What does that mean? Is that good or bad?
One millimeter in an hour is not that much.
Okay.
So that would suggest they're calling for showers, not rain.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted to ask.
And you guys, listen, you guys are out at Emerald Links. You're all set up with carts.
Yeah.
You know, you're all soft.
Well,
this is a big match. You know,
I want you to build me up today. I don't need you to be. I don't need any be calling me. You want to call people out? Call out Wally and Mathot. Sorry.
Yes.
Don't be calling me out.
The former NHLer will be soft.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt about it. I don't think Mark Mathot would be a mutter. I don't believe that. I don't believe it starts to rain that he's like he puts his head down and this makes him focus even more.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I think the clubs are slipping in
really?
His hand. You know, I think you got to get in his kitchen.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think you got to make that suggestion of wonder whether he's got rain gloves or not. That's always you just want to plant seeds.
Does he do the double glove like Lee or would he be in
I don't know. I'm not played with
him. If he gets into like the full rain garb, umbrella, everything else?
I'm not seeing it.
Okay. I did charge up the speaker yesterday.
Good.
So it's
the music set to go, Backstreet Boys,
boy bands.
Well, I actually mixed in, I didn't want to be too controversial, so I actually did mix in some Roger Whittaker.
Perfect.
Some Neil Diamond.
You'll appreciate that.
There's some nappy time music.
Cracklin' Rosie.
Just some of the favorites going right there. So got that ready to go.
Now, I see that Ian, because you're golfing with Ian and Wally, they're kind of the forgotten two in this buildup, and you're actually partnered with Ian,
who
put out on his own Twitter yesterday, who are you picking to win?
Yeah. Who do you think will win? Like, that's where you have to be careful because Ian of the four, I think, is the most popular. Mark a second. I don't even know where Wally and I rank, but it's who do you think's going to win versus who do you want to win?
I looked at the voting.
Yeah, 70-30.
Wasn't good for you guys.
Oh, no, for sure. So that motivated me. I went out to see old Hella Hamo yesterday.
I see that.
Yeah.
A practice session.
Yeah.
And how did he break it down
you
for
get
you?
Some tips?
You know what? It was funny because I went out there and I saw Lisa and I just wanted to hit some balls, JR. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, come out. I'll take a look. Mm-hmm. You know, it's typical, but not even more.
Let me tell you something right now, Schumer.
He actually was pretty funny because he did a little video of my swing and I knew what I was doing wrong. But yesterday, JR, first of all, I go to swing and it was hilarious. My jumping, I had the sharpest pain run through my right elbow.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding. But I just kind of shook it off. And what usually bothers me is my right shoulder. But I ended up being fine. I actually hit the ball really well.
Mm.
Exactly.
With the new unisex clubs.
Exactly. Yep. And so I was hitting the
graphite shafts. You're all set.
Well, that's actually, I had a great.
Golfing like a 70-year-old.
Well, that's the great part. It was and I don't even want to say he was 70. I kind of chummed up with the buddy next to me, and we had a nice discussion. And he's like, I switched these in a little while ago for the senior clubs. I'm like, that's funny. I got the same ones.
You're kidding.
No.
You had the same club?
Yeah. I'm like, isn't that great? You don't have to swing as hard. So, but anyways, Lisa was super set me up. But, you know, here was, and this is a sincere part, I don't golf much anymore, JR, but that whole tracker thing was on yesterday, which, of course, for the people that don't know it.
Top tracer.
Top tracer. Yeah, you just sit there and you hit, but it was so relaxing. And the fella next to me, and now they do have the music playing. They got the old Move 100 on, some tunes, but the fella had the earbuds on, and I thought, well, what could be better than on a nice day, whether it's good, bad day, or whatever day for anybody, just to go there and have some tunes going. You got the automatic tee. You hit some balls. You do whatever you want to do. It was just really relaxing. Obviously, it was a gorgeous day, but I had a nice time just hitting it, and we'll see how it works out this morning.
The power tee may be the greatest invention ever in the game of golf. For those that haven't seen that, I don't know that it's everywhere. I know Kevin's got it at his range, so... Yeah. What it does, you get your bucket of balls, and it's a tee that that goes up and down. So after you hit it, it goes down, whoop, ball goes on top, and it pops back up again.
Yeah, four different levels. And are they even, and I didn't even know this yesterday, because I think I got there at 2:30, hit for about 40 minutes. I said to Hammer, I got to buy a glove, too, because my hands.
You don't have any gloves?
Key.
Well, no, I haven't worn a glove for years, JR, but this is hilarious.
But you sweat a lot.
Well, yeah, not too bad
you
now.
You sweat walking down the hallway.
No, not anymore. Now that I've cleaned up my lifestyle, JR, it's not quite the same. But my hands are very soft, and I've already got a small blister on my thumb. Oh, I'm like, come on, man. This skin is like, it's never done anything.
Get all of this out of your mind. And again, today is all about seed planting with Mathod.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Get this. Just text them this morning saying it's looking like rain. Tell them that you've got rain gloves. Whether you do or you don't, doesn't matter. Good thing I packed away my rain gloves. So just start planting some seeds.
Okay.
Also, start sending him gifts of Charles Barkley's swing. Just so that gets in the back of his mind.
Good visualization
too.
Right there.
Yes.
Nice.
So then he starts pausing in the middle, not just once, but multiple times during his
everybody's
swing.
Everybody's deeming him to be the athlete. I'm like, what? Yeah. Being the fifth goaltender on the cap depth chart doesn't make me an athlete?
30 years ago.
Jesus Christ. What has happened to society here?
Also, tell him that I brought you a whole bunch of balls.
Oh, yeah.
So that if he needs some balls, okay, you've got extras. That will plant the seed as well. That if he's having a wild day off the tee, it's okay. All very subtle, but it all works.
My bag is about the size of Rodney Dangerfield's in Caddyshack, so it also doesn't...
A bar in there,
well,
too?
I hope there's music, but it also doesn't have a strap. So do I show up carrying kind of the bag like that, JR, but do I also... You gave me the bags in a garbage bag. Do I show up like that?
The ball, you mean?
That kind of makes it look like I'm in even more trouble.
Oh, no,
right?
The balls have to be in the bag.
Okay.
Yeah, no, don't be carrying
them when we start negotiating strokes, then it's basically like, and then I even take the clubs out, and I don't even know if I'm supposed to be right or left hand.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
No, you walk up there like a hobo with those bag of golf balls hanging off your driver over your shoulder,
ready to go,
and then you get the stroke game going. Okay, and then you get them in the bag, and then you've got yourself another advantage.
Okay.
Listen, show pride is on the line here.
Yeah. You can do it.
You can do it.
Make sure you get some strokes. He claims he's Mathod claims he's a 12.
Oh no, I got that locked in already. I already texted him this morning.
Okay.
I'm playing off at 22. I don't know what Ian and Wally end up being. So
who's live tweeting this event, by the way?
Golf Channel.
Yeah.
The drop coverage of the U.S. Open.
We actually had a couple of people ask if they wanted to caddy. I was kind of almost on the
You're on a course.
I've only done that once in my life, JR, and that was the most enjoyable round of golf I've ever played.
God. Yeah, actually, it was with Kevin. Kevin and I went to the
Down
media
in New York?
Day
in New York? Yeah.
For the PGA Championship, and they gave us a what's called a four caddy, which means it's one caddy for four people.
Yeah.
But all this guy needed to do, because we had carts. We had carts. I can't remember. Whatever. This guy would just line up putts because they caddied just at the course, right?
Oh, okay.
What's it called now? Whatever it's called. Oak Hill.
Yeah.
And he was like, hit it here. And I was like, as long as I got the speed right, I hit it where he said, I have never made
no
more
way.
Putts in my life.
No
it was
way.
Absolutely amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I could not miss.
That was funny as well yesterday.
It was a good investment to have.
Yeah, funny yesterday too. So I just went over to Kev for a couple of minutes, and on my swing, typical, I know I rotate back too far and that I'm rolling back on my back foot. So he's showing me. He did a little video, and I'm like, oh, I know.
Here's
that.
What you're doing wrong, Zimmer.
Oh, I like that. And then he gets up, but he shows you a lesson, and he's like, okay, just put your foot here. And then how cleanly he hits the ball.
Oh, I know. It's effortless.
And how it launches at this perfect angle. I'm just like, oh, man.
You get that thing where the ball flight goes up, and then there's like an upshoot.
Oh, exactly.
Those are the real good players.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mine is kind of more of a scud missile versus his is a...
I like to think of mine as a low drop.
Low draw. That's true, yeah.
Anyway, good luck, Zimmer. Enjoy your afternoon at Emerald Links. Great
Thanks
spot to play
much.
A game of golf.
Yeah.
Represent.
Full report coming up on Monday.
Absolutely.
6:20. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll get into all the sports news of the day. It's busy, man. My sports report was long today because there's a lot of stuff going on, including the Lightning going 2-1 up on the Islanders. And why, if you're a New York fan, may not be reason to panic. Vegas and Montreal go to Game 3 tonight at the Bell Center. We'll tee up that game for you. Really interesting NHL Players Association poll came out yesterday. Anonymous poll of 500 NHL players, and often it's how your peers feel that players care most about. So we'll go through that with you as well. Rod Brindamore finally does re-sign with the Hurricanes, and Marcus Hogberg's time with the Sens and the NHL is over. So lots of hockey stuff to go through. We will talk some golf. Day one of the U.S. Open almost complete. A few golfers, stragglers, will have to come back early this morning to finish off their round one. So we'll get you updated on that. NBA playoffs. The Bucks have forced a game 7. And in Major League Baseball, we'll just put this on repeat from this week. The Blue Jay bullpen blew another game last night as they got swept by the Yankees.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
It is. All right. It is a kick in the balls. It is also a wrench-throwing Friday. If you'd like to toss a wrench at anything in the world of sports or the world in general that has bothered you the last 7 days, text it to us right now at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Or you can tweet at us at TSN1200 or phone in your wrenches at 750-1200. We'll do that throughout the morning as well. We will talk to Pierre McGuire after 8 from Montreal. And also from Montreal, former NHLer, now with TSN 690, Chris Knuckles Nyland will join us on the show as well, ahead of Game 3 tonight. So we got a busy show ahead. We're glad you're with us as we head toward the weekend. It's the Friday edition here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Friday morning. Welcome back, everybody. 6:27 on this Friday morning with JR, Zimmer, and Hammer. We got Pierre McGuire and Chris Knuckles Nyland coming up later on in the show this morning, and we'll be back with another edition of our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. Congratulations again to Martin Delorme, who finally broke the streak, which was almost 2 months. April 19th, Paul Roche was our first winner, and I think that was like week 3 or 4 of the contest. We have been fallow since then, barren, thirsty for a winner. We've come close many times. Let's take you back to yesterday. Last one, Martin, for $1,000. Who's older, Serena or Venus Williams? You answered Venus Williams, correct?
That's right.
That is right!
Ah.
You did it! We've got a winner! Finally!
Yeah!
Way to go, Martin!
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. You just won $1,000. There you go. That's the best reaction right there. I just realized I won $1,000. We told Martin, by the way, our advice to him was he is not allowed to pay any bills, do anything, like just the straight and narrow. Oh. You got this is found money.
Yeah.
You got to go out and waste it.
Yeah, just disappear. Marty Party. Yeah. All of a sudden, he's in a limo to Montreal.
Yeah.
Probably just closing
it down. Right out of the
sunroof. Oh, right out. You know, now you just, the beautiful part about Montreal, you just about finish up your drinking. And if you, well, whatever. Yeah, you've gone for a bite to eat. There you are. In Montreal,
yeah.
That's always
sure.
the key.
Sure, yeah.
Going for the late night snack.
Very late. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. There is, yes, there are certain locations that have, well, actually, I don't know if those locations. Anyway, Martin, yeah. Enjoy the money. We'll try and yeah. give it away again. Another 1,000 up for grabs just before 8 o'clock this morning. Got some wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. Jason and Kempville, wrench to the boys for going golfing this afternoon while I sit at work. All right, Jason.
Yeah, and also golf-related, JR, just a warning to the men out there. If you're big into the Under Armour shorts, a little wrench to them, Hammer, for changing their sizing.
Oh, no, look out!
Yeah, ordered online, which I'm normally a 34, and I've gotten in better shape, JR, but I would say the last couple of years they've been a bit on the snug side.
Mm.
But they've been okay. I ordered another 34, and this is weird on sizing. As a society or a fashion maker, you usually want to pretend that people feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer fit into a 34, so went out to old Tanger Outlet, switched them up. Now, the beautiful part is I bought one pair online, and for that price, I got two at Tanger, but I had to go to a 36, which I've never worn, and they just fit nicely. So strangely enough, a clothing company, that's not a good idea, right? Like, I'm not feeling good about being in a 36. Now, if they did the 32 to me, I'd be like, wow, I'm feeling good about myself.
Did you ever consider that maybe the sizing hasn't changed, that maybe you did?
No. This is the part of, no. I
know they've changed that sizing.
Exactly. And the lady confirmed to me. I think they've gone with a European model. But they sure. really, they have for sure, JR. Because as I said, I'm at a decent, I'll be the first to admit, I'm actually at a decent weight right now. But there's one thing about them being a little bit tight.
Uh-huh.
There's another one that the minute, I don't know how you guys are. The minute they kind of come up your legs, you realize this ain't working. And I went to put them on. I'm like, man, this isn't even the old untuck it, because I can't tuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Even that wasn't going to be working on there. So I had to slide into a little 36 action.
No,
so there you go.
Bad for the ego.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to
very
just...
slimming on the 36 though.
Okay. well, I don't know. I was worried that they were going to be like this big old boxy thing, and they actually feel nicely.
There you
I
go.
Feel tight.
Bill writes, I want to throw a wrench at the intermission shows, the three Howie Meekers. Who is their targeted audience? Someone that only watches intermissions. That comes from Bill.
It's been every month.
There you go. And yeah. along these same lines, the Schwab in the pothole would like to throw a good morning radio guys. Can I get a wrench, please, at Cassie Campbell for claiming every single play that results in a goal is from a set play? That's from Schwab in the pothole.
Gives it to Slavin, and it's over!
Boy.
You know what? And listen, I'm not a big I've said many times, I'm not a big pregame show person for any sport.
Really?
And I'm not, okay. And I'm not an intermission person, especially when there's so much going
yeah.
on. Like,
yeah.
as soon as, and I'm not really, I'm not watching every second of every hockey game either. I'm whatever is the most exciting thing on is what I'm watching.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I ended up last night, I didn't think the hockey game, we'll get to it in just a second.
Okay.
was the most electric game we've seen.
I found
myself drifting a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I totally
was watching
agree.
A bit of the golf, and then I was flipping over the NBA for a while.
Yeah.
And so I was here, there, and everywhere. So when the intermissions come on, boom, I'm out.
Yeah, here's the sports-wise, the NFL, nobody does it better, JR. I can watch pregame shows. I can watch between, because I also feel like the way football sets up, I like to learn, because no matter how much I've watched my whole life, I enjoy it. I don't want to critique it, but I'll be honest. When I turn on and Dave Poulin, I won't go into names. When I turn on the TSN, I do get some hockey knowledge. I don't know who. And again, I don't know if this is different. I don't remember in my lifetime there being so many highlight packages. They've even started off shows with highlights. So I do understand from the listener's standpoint, and I'm not saying this because I'm sitting on TSN radio here, but I think it does become a little bit redundant on part of that. But hey, that's what they want to end up doing.
Schmoberger writes, a reverse wrench to you, JR, for suggesting The Mayor of Easttown was a really great show. Have a great weekend, boys. That comes from the Schmoberger. There you go.
Yeah. Fantastic series. Mm-hmm.
You finished it? Yeah.
I finished it.
Front to back? I've
yes,
recommended
sir.
It, and I haven't seen it myself.
You haven't?
So, no.
Oh,
you're just
okay.
going by the recommendation
yeah.
of your wife and
my
daughter.
My wife
right?
and daughter
okay.
raved about
yeah.
it, and I watched 10 minutes of the of you know, and now it feels like because I saw a very important 10 minutes of the third or fourth episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if I can watch it, but I may watch it anyway because I heard it's so good.
Yeah, I've started it up three different times here. Have to be in the right mood. I find it a bit on the sad side. But it's certainly well done. There's no doubt about that. And it feels like all of these shows now, first of all, are incredibly written. But the character actors in North America seem like they're rivaling the old British, which I always thought back in the day had they just had it all set up like the original Office that came out of Great Britain and then translated into the American version.
Well, that's almost all television, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
all the good stuff was originally done in Britain, they just copied it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, 6:34. Let's get to the game, shall we? Tampa Bay Islanders go to the island tied at one. Let's go to the second period. Late second period. Game tied at one.
Return pass partially blocked by Green. Kucherov gets it back. Hedman to the top of the slot. Wrist shot save made by Varlamov. Rebound. Point scores! Braden Point just as Pellick got out of the box. It'll be an even strength goal, but Braden Point shovels it in. His 11th of the playoffs. And it's 2-1 Lightning.
And that would stand up as the game winner. Dying seconds of the second period. The go-ahead 2-1 goal. 2-1 is the final. And 11 goals in the playoffs for Braden Point and goals in six consecutive games. You want to talk about doing it when the chips are down?
Yeah.
That's what Braden Point is doing it right now.
Well, and the other part, JR, for a smallish guy and for the reason he wasn't going to make it, I mean, all these goals are scored in. He's the bumper on the power play, and that was a really cool sequence. He scored it, and it did not come once again without them claiming it was a soft call, which I agree on Pellick as far as an interference call on Kucherov led to the goal. But no, he and Kucherov really having a nice playoff. And hey, Point's just fun to watch, and it is incredible. Said this earlier in the week. If I told you 3 or 4 years ago, you don't even hear Steven Stamkos' name mentioned during a telecast there outside of Hedman and Vasilevsky. It's all about Point, and it's all about Kucherov.
Yeah, Kucherov, I'm just looking right now. Yeah, sorry, he got a secondary assist on that goal, so he now has 23 points. Be an interesting debate. I know, I think it was, there was a write-up yesterday on TSN.ca about Kucherov beating the leading contender for the Conn Smythe right now. And again, we got a long ways to go because he leads in scoring. And he's got, I believe now, an 8-point lead, which is significant. I think it's 23-15 is the playoff
point. And some of those guys aren't even playing.
Exactly. So he probably
by my calculation means they won't get any more points.
Yes. Good one. Good one by you. That's breaking it down right there. But man, there's something to be said by this goal scoring for Braden Point. Holy cow. Like that is like when you're scoring in six consecutive games and you've got 11 goals.
Yeah.
Like I think Kucherov probably would, if we had the vote right now and it was over and Tampa won, I think Kucherov probably wins it. But I tell you what, I'd think long and hard about Braden Point.
Yeah. And it's funny now that you say that, JR, and this is all. Pull up my goalie union card. If you ask me right now, I'd actually say Vasilevsky. I thought certainly in the couple of series there where they weren't on top of their game, but certainly a fun discussion on all three of them. They've all been very good, and that's what you want. Your top paid players, you want them to be good come playoff time, and they're getting that in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Here is Barry Trotz, the Islanders head coach, on the difference last night in Game 3.
They just capitalized on, you know, a chance on a sort of a scramble at the end of the power play, so... it's a fine line from winning and losing. You get a save here, or you get a dirty puck around the net, and it rattles off someone that goes in the net, and you could be on the winning side as well.
There you go. That Braden Point goal was, he's getting cross-checked to the ice, and he just whips it toward the net, and it went in off it was just crazy. It was just on the ice and went in off somebody, it looked like. Banked in. The Islanders' goal was a crazy goal as well, where... Eric Chernak, bouncing around in front. Vasilevsky couldn't get the oven mitts on it. And instead of firing it into the corner, he tried to steer it back into his pads. Yeah. And it eventually caromed in between his pads and into the net for the only goal the Islanders got in the game. And I was like, that was a bit of a brain-farted play, I think, on his part.
Yeah,
I think if you're the tender, you're going, get that thing out of here.
Yeah, I often said to my defenseman, I don't like the puck. The puck doesn't like me. If you have any thought of once the puck is not around me, of trying to put it back into me, it ain't going to go well. Please get rid of that. Then you have the other, and Vasilevsky usually, first of all, has a paddle to stick down, JR. And when you're that crowded and you're that confident, those are the plays you make. And it's also the sequences. You even watch the Point goal, and then you see that goal. it is that subtle move of these massive goaltenders with these massive pads where just a sliver opens in the five hole and you find a way. Like, we've seen Carey Price, I think, get, you know, it's not lucky because he's a great goalie. How many times have we seen either five hole or the other night off of his pants where it's just that, Barry Trotz said it's a game of inches, and right there was an inch, and right on the point goal was almost the same sequence where exactly as Varlamov went to move, opened up a tad, and she's in the net.
If you watch the New York Islanders play at all in the playoffs, you know that at no point in any of their games is there panic. And that's part of the reason they've had success. They have a process that they trust implicitly, that their coach has put in place. And whether they're up by a goal, down by a goal, they're playing the exact same way. Sometimes it works out for you, and it has more often than not. Sometimes it doesn't. But for the Islanders being down 2-1 now in this series, there will be no panic, because they can look upon their first two playoff series wins this year, in which they lost Game 3 both times and then went on to win the next three consecutive games in both series. In Pittsburgh in Game 1, or Series 1, they won 4-2 by winning the last three games of the series after being down 2-1. And against Boston in Round 2, they lost Game 3 and then went three in a row to win 4-2. Yeah. So being down 2-1 to Tampa is, you know, it's, you know, they had taken home ice. Now they've given it back again, but they're not going to be panicking anything whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's a great point, Jer. Here is also when you kind of look at styles, and I wondered if it was St. Louis a couple of years ago, when you're playing as hard as St. Louis did, and credit to them, they brought it all the way home, Game 7, Series 4, I saw the following regular season. I said to myself, I don't think you can sustain that in a year. For a lot of teams in the Islanders play properly, they certainly have done that, but I think they also, against the Boston Bruins, they either ran the Bruins' defense out of the building or they were already banged up. In this particular case, they've had a bit of a street fight two games in, and as we watched Game 3 yesterday and watched that, I kind of feel like, okay, we've tried to push Tampa around. It really hasn't worked to the extent of what we did in other series. Now I also say this, especially with J.G. Pageau being injured, J.R., I think the Islanders as a thinner group might be the wounded animal right now, and I think Tampa Bay senses that. So that would be my only thought going forward, is that, yeah, we've kind of fought them. Now we brought it back to our building, and we expected this to be a little tougher last night, and Tampa Bay, to me, was clearly the better hockey team.
Yeah, it was an odd game, only in that Game 2 was such a vicious game. Yeah, like, that looked like these two teams would just tear each other's eyes out, and last night was... And I asked Pierre about this yet. What are you expecting tonight? Are we going to see more of this, you know, all these skirmishes from Game 2? And we saw, and he said, I think what will have happened is that the series supervisor will go to both teams and say, no more of that garbage.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And that's what happened. It must have happened, because we didn't see any of that last night. And there were only two penalty calls in the entire game. And one of them, the one against the Islanders, that actually ended up with point. Now, it wasn't officially a power play goal because the guy was coming out of the box. But that was a garbage call. It was an interference call that happens 1,000 times a game. That was a total even up call.
Big time.
For the one penalty against Tampa. So it was a completely different game from that perspective. Game 3 to Game 2.
Yeah, and also bad for ratings. The best fights were in the stands. So I mean that. But I just expected when they rolled out on the ice and they're going crazy. And I do think there's a tone, JR, because Pageau to me is the tone setter for the team. And they showed some of the clips there, and whether it's abdominal or groin for a guy, and hey, everybody's predicated on skating, but when you watch him, and you watch, first of all, the way he skates, how intelligent he plays, how much his hips and his body matter to square up on the play, that's why he's always in such great position. Knowing that he's not quite the same, not that that goes through the whole lineup, but man, oh man, he's such a big part of the engine of that hockey team, and just didn't feel it from him last night either.
No. Anyway, Islanders trail the series now 2-1. Game 4 in that series will go tomorrow night back in Long Island, and of course it's Game 3 tonight in Montreal. Be 3,500 at the Bell Centre, so an extra 1,000 from the Winnipeg series. And they will be loud, no doubt, for Game 3 coming up tonight at 8 o'clock. Vegas and Montreal, of course, tied at a game apiece. We'll have the game for you here on TSN 1200 at 8. And by the way, Game 4 and that one will go Sunday night also at 8 o'clock. So we got hockey every single night at 8 o'clock right throughout the weekend. Always something to look forward to. We'll talk more about that game coming up throughout the morning, of course, with Pierre McGuire, who is in Montreal. enjoyed his Saint Hubert meal last night. He texted me a picture of the empty box.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. He enjoyed that.
Any empty bottles as well?
Didn't say that wasn't part of the picture. Yeah, I'll have to ask him.
Red wine with Saint Hubert. Okay, only in Montreal, only in Quebec.
Yeah. And Chris Knuckles Nyland from TSN 690, of course, former NHLer, will join us in the show as well, coming up after 9. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll get into the NBA playoffs. We'll get into the Blue Jays. Lost again, bullpen meltdown, and the Yankees turned a triple play on them last night that has never been done before in the history of baseball. We'll explain all about that, and we'll talk about the U.S. Open as well as round one, almost in the books. All straight ahead here on a Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Don't forget 6 o'clock tonight. We've got Michaela Schreider and Robin Flynn with another edition of She's Got Game, dedicated to 60 minutes of women's sports. Among their guests tonight will be Elena Sharp, Canadian golfer. She falls directly in the shadow, I think, of Brooke Henderson, of course, who is a fantastic player. But Elena Sharp, very good in her own right. In fact, at this weekend's tournament, the Meyer Classic in Michigan, which Brooke has won a couple of times. Brooke was 3 over yesterday. Elena Sharp was 1 under. Okay. She will be a guest on the show tonight, nice, between 6 and 7, as will Casey Bellamy. She is a longtime member of the U.S. national women's hockey team. So that among the guests tonight, 6 to 7 on She's Got Game here on TSN 1200.
I see where Brooke will be without her caddy this weekend, right? Yes. Brittany had to come back to Canada to
get a work visa.
Yeah, get some paperwork done. So that's always an interesting dynamic, JR, as to how that works for remembering that these people are all foreign people. And I wondered how golf actually worked from a player's standpoint of coming to the United States and working. I guess like everybody else, you need a visa. And same thing for your caddy. So, yeah.
They've been, but Brooke lives, and I'm not sure where Brittany lives, I'm assuming, Brooke lives down in Florida, where she's got a place down in Florida, but again, I don't know how the rules work. I know with snowbirds, right, you can't be there more than 6 months.
Exactly, Jared, this is a funny, and it doesn't happen as much anymore, but I remember, was it Al Jensen, if people remember, was an old goaltender for Washington back in the day, and I think finished up with Detroit's farm team. He went at the end of his career and built this beautiful house in Glens Falls, and he's living there, and all of a sudden gets a call from the U.S. government and says, listen, bud, what's going on here? He's like, well, I finished playing hockey and decided to set up shop here. They're like, well, what's your status in the United States? He's, well, I don't know, just living here in the U.S. Well, you don't have any status, bud. You got to head back to Canada. Like, to try to remember that, again, if you don't have a work visa, if you don't, and I don't know in the case of the golfers any easier, what you really want at the end of the day, JR, is to get a green card, and then that gives you the ability to basically live in the U.S. But beyond that, hey, you got to remember, you have property there, you're still just a visitor, and you got to be real, real careful about how long you're there and not getting any trouble. U.S. immigration, not a whole lot of fun these days to deal with.
Yeah, never at the best of times, quite frankly.
No, those guys, they want to be straight state troopers, or they want to be, they usually want to be like Navy SEALs, and then when they fail in those two programs, then they end up being Border Patrol, so they're pissed the rest of their life. And then when they get they're from they're from Florida, and then they get all of a sudden that they're moving to Ogdensburg.
Yeah. What? I found the Ogdensburg guys.
Yeah.
Not bad. I find the busier the crossing, the more snarly they are.
Oh yeah.
So Ogdensburg guy, as long as there's not a long line, you roll up there, they're usually okay. Like still, he's got the sunglasses on. He's kind of he's looking like the Eric Estrada from Chips.
Well, a bit of Reno cops as well.
Yeah, Reno 911.
Yeah, exactly.
Your passports ready if you want to be on their good side. Yeah. Have them folded. Have them folded open to the photo. Don't make them go through it.
Yeah, and roll the window down in the back. Do all the jizz.
Have your glasses off.
Yeah, pretend you're super impressed with how powerful they are.
Yeah.
That's what it really comes down to.
Is that a gun there, your holstering? Just happy to see me. Anyway.
What?
I'm not sure. 6:53. Let's take it to the Jays and the Yankees in Buffalo last night. So, listen, wheels have gone square here for the Blue Jays, mostly with the bullpen. How about last night? First inning, they got runners second and third, nobody out. Vladdy Guerrero is at the dish. You're thinking, this has got to be nothing but good news, right?
Chop slowly. Oh, there's a situation at third. The throw is to first. Now they'll throw to second. Runners are hung up. They're going to come home with the throw. They have Simeon in a rundown. He's tagged out. Throw to third. It's a triple play. They pulled a triple play. Second one of the year, and this one falls under the heading of Funky.
Funky is right. Or you may change one letter in that if you're a Blue Jay fan, which is a word we can't say and isn't really a word but can't say on the radio. Yeah. That is the first. They've been playing baseball, kids, for a long time. Over 100 years. It's the first time in the history of baseball they've had a triple play, which has gone one, three, four, two, five, six, I believe it was. Whatever it was.
Because they go to the catcher, do they not? The first baseman runs at the batter, throws to the catcher. Catcher throws to third.
No, he throws it to first.
Yeah, first.
Anyway, whatever it was, it's the first time.
That's the first time, dear?
First time in history. That combination.
Okay. No, but I know what you mean, because generally it's where it's a line drive, right, with the bases loaded, and like all of a sudden you catch everybody. That's chaos to the point of embarrassing.
It's terrible base running is what it is. Wow. Here's Jay's manager, Charlie Montoyo, on what happened this time.
I think everything. You know that, and again, honestly, I'm not gonna cheer your quarter. We didn't do a good job on that, you know, and that's gonna happen, Keegan. That's gonna happen, and young kids are gonna make mistakes and stuff, and that was one of those.
It's you know what? Yeah. This is starting now to unravel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where it's the bullpen. It's now we're getting, you know, this is like two nights ago, Vladdy Guerrero, right, tying run, gets caught off third base. In the bottom of the ninth inning, on a ball back to the pitcher, right? Didn't look like a contact play is on. So it's just like the errors are compounding themselves.
Yeah.
And I trace this all back at the end of the day to managing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that Charlie Montoyo, I think he's out of his league, quite frankly. And I'm not the first person. And Hammer, you follow it way closer than any of us. He just does not look like he is able to manage a team correctly.
It's repetitive errors. That's what it is. This season isn't the first season for base running errors. Last season was littered with base running errors as well, and they don't get it. You teach these players at a very young age, when you are at third with less than two out and it's hit to the left side, it's hit to the third base side, you don't break hard for home.
Or in this case, the pitcher.
It is hit on that side of the diamond. Yeah. You don't break hard for home.
Unless the contact play is on, which it wouldn't be with no outs.
Yeah. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It could have been, but it shouldn't be.
Actually, yes.
Do you think, though, honestly, like when the guys are they're doing the teaching, you know, do you think they just nod their head yes to him and they have no idea what he's saying? Like, do you think that? Like,
sounds a bit like Desi Arnaz. Like,
not a bit, JR. Like, I want Lucy to come in.
Lucy!
Because, and he sounded more, I could understand him a lot better. What his accent is kind of cute and he was kind of funny when he first came on. Now he just sounds like a complete idiot. Now you keep saying, well, the kids are going to make mistakes, as Hammer's pointing out. This is the whole premise of why you were brought in, why the Gibster was let go, right? Was that, hey, this guy's people's manager. The guys love him.
An analytics manager.
It looks like they're just doing whatever they want. They're not even paying attention. Hey, I'm here to hit the long ball. Anything else that happens in between, I really couldn't care less.
Well, they're not learning.
They're not learning.
That's the thing. As you mentioned,
you
the base running, the defensive errors last year. We're seeing more of that this year. The bullpen, again, the managing of the bullpen in terms of what guys are going in on what nights or whatever, that's on the manager. The fact that there is not a lot of bullpen depth. Now, they've been hit with injuries and maybe more than their fair share of injuries, and that's on the organization. That's not on the manager necessarily. He can only manage the players that he's given.
Yeah.
But at times it would appear that he has gone with the wrong pitchers or...
letting his starter go a little bit longer. He's of that ilk of when you're going through the order for the third time, it's time to get the starter out of there.
I guess I'd ask, in the world of analytics, guys, where it feels like this is really planned, especially in baseball, both in how I use my starting pitcher and who comes in from the bullpen, how can you get it wrong, JR? Because I feel like this is a decision that's made beforehand and that the computer's making it, and then everybody from Shapiro to Atkins to Montoyo are all on the same page. Do you know what I mean? Like, I find it strange that this isn't already all predetermined by the computer.
Well, I think at times it's who they go to. It's not that they're pulling a guy for the third, order is coming up, the lineup is coming up for a third time. It's who he's choosing, right? The Romano choice? Was that last weekend? There was a very Jordan Romano was ready to go, and he said he was available, and he went with Dolis.
Yes,
that was one of the games they lost against the Red Sox, right?
And then Dolis came in the eighth because his comment was, "I'm saving Romano for extra, safe situation. If there was a safe situation.
Yeah.
So then the very next game in the eighth, he brings Romano in when there's not a safe situation.
Right.
And then Romano gives up a double, and it's a blown save regardless.
Yeah. So it just does – whatever he appears to touch – goes the opposite of what it should do, right? And so it's just kind of the snowball effect where it's just kind of rolling down in the wrong direction, and it just feels like every decision he makes ends up being the wrong one. And it just it's going in the wrong direction. I've not seen any hints that his job is on the line whatsoever. They're exactly at 500 right now. They're about 5-6 games, I think, out of the second wild card. The hitting has been fantastic. Guerrero right now, probably along with Shohei Ohtani, would be your MVP favorites in the American League, right?
Yep.
He's having a fantastic year. Hitting-wise, they're fine. But, the starting pitching actually has been pretty decent. Manoah's come in. He's been good. So the bullpen is not good, but the managing is dragging them down.
I
don't think there's any doubt about that.
You said it just, the learning, that nobody is learning. It's over. It's repetitive mistakes. And when that happens, I immediately look to the manager because you're not teaching or the players are not listening to you.
Right.
It's simple.
Anyway, they got a chance to right the ship this weekend. They're playing the Orioles this weekend, who they have not played this year. And the Orioles, if you haven't checked your standings, they're terrible again. In fact, they're on an 8-game losing streak as the Jays go to Baltimore this weekend. So, if they can't win this weekend, if they don't take 2 out of 3 this weekend, ooh, man, then the you-know-what could be hitting the fan by the time Monday rolls around.
That triple play was 1-3-6-2-5-6.
1-3-6, so that's pitcher to first to shortstop to catcher.
You got
to
it.
Third,
yep.
To short.
To short.
Right. We had two guys thrown out
textbook.
At third base.
Wow, wow.
It's like just brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. Final, by the way, with a bullpen meltdown, which we didn't even get to, another one. In the seventh inning was 8-4 for the Yankees, so they sweep the Blue Jays in the 3-game set in Buffalo. Okay, we'll take a break just past 7 o'clock. Latest news and sports on the way. Very busy scoreboard. When we come back, more on, and we'll set up Vegas-Montreal Game 3 tonight. That's a big one, of course. Talk about it with Pierre McGuire and Knuckles Nylund later on in the show. We'll get to some of the U.S. Open, which didn't quite get in the entire round. Everybody didn't quite get in their entire first round yesterday. We'll bring you right up to date. Good start for Adam Hadwin, the Canadian, in the mix after round one. We'll also talk some NBA playoffs as well and look at a couple of fun events happened on this day in sports history as well. Coming up just before 8 o'clock, let's see if we can go back-to-back for a grand. $1,000 up for grabs in our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. We'll see if we can do that as well just before 8 as we continue along here on a Friday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.